Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Understanding and healing are two different things. But talk to parents whose kids survived the Evergreen school shooting last year, and they will tell you that understanding what happened is part of their healing process. The parent who led the fight to force investigators to release their findings spoke with our Mark Salinger.
Finding clarity isn't easy.
It's like 654 pages. It's a lot to read through.
Hours and hours of reading later, Michael Farrell is beginning to find some answers.
It did bring back a lot of emotions from that day. You start to kind of heal from it and move past it a little bit, and it really kind of was ripping the Band-Aid off a little bit again.
Michael's son is a sophomore at Evergreen High School. After the shooting, we shared his fight pushing for the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office to release all the documents related to the shooting, not just a one-page summary.
This is important to us. Our children went through something that they should not have to go through. We just want to understand what happened on that day. See, I wasn't looking to hold necessarily anybody accountable. I just wanted to understand how can we learn from this.
Today, 654 pages later, he has a better idea.
You get an understanding of maybe what happened in the weeks and months and years leading up that caused the shooter to get to a place where he thought he might not have had any other options.
The documents share more about the shooter's history with Nazi symbolism and how one teacher said he was lonely and did not interact with students much. But they don't give much insight into how the shooter got the gun he used or why the FBI didn't act on a tip from the Anti-Defamation League months before the shooting.
I still do have questions, and I didn't expect these documents were going to address what the Anti-Defamation League had forwarded over to the FBI. So I think there's some questions within the community surrounding that.
It's a seemingly endless scroll, reliving a nightmare.
You know, reading that, kind of as bad as the situation is, I do try to look for those helpers.
A little bit of clarity through a dark day.
And reading through those documents, there were so many helpers. Obviously the first responders, but from them to the people, the neighbors who live across the road and were ushering students into their houses they were fleeing from gunfire, to the teachers who were securing students in the building, to the staff at Evergreen Parks and Recreation Department that welcomed the students in and one of the injured students and helped apply life-saving measures. So as much as I was looking for kind of closure, just kind of taking that away kind of helps with the overall understanding of what happened and being appreciative for those folks.
Perspective there. After we shared Michael's original story here back in March, all four of the TV stations here in Denver came together to request the documents and pay the money to get them. We shared them with members of the Evergreen community who wanted to learn more, Kyle.
So certainly we know that there are outstanding questions. Do they feel like there are answers that are within their grasp?
At this point, it feels like everything that we are going to learn, we have learned. There are still a lot of those questions about why the FBI didn't act on the tip from the ADL. There are questions that are still out there. How did he get the gun from the safe? But at this point, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how we're going to get more answers than that.
Well, we appreciate him speaking up, appreciate your reporting on this, and our thanks also to the leadership over at CBS4 because they helped to get together the
group of
people after seeing your reporting, so thank you. City leaders in Durango face a legal catch-22. Citizens there want to force a special election on an ordinance to unmask federal officers. City leaders say that's likely unenforceable, if not straight-up illegal, and it could cost the city tens of millions in federal funds. Durango City Council is asking a state court to weigh in on a citizen-backed ordinance that would ban law enforcement officers from wearing masks and requiring them to wear visible ID. The citizen group No Secret Police gathered 1,700 signatures for a special election on that issue. It's part of the growing nationwide pushback against the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. City councilors in Durango say they want to honor the will of voters, but they warned this could be a mess of consequences.
What are we asking our community to sacrifice for an ordinance that may ultimately be for show and not enforceable? Because the consequences here are not theoretical. They are real.
We understand the potential damage to our community as a result of this ordinance. But the psychological damage to our community, I think, is 100 times more severe.
Durango City Attorney says they're one of the first municipalities in the country where they believe that voters are the ones demanding this policy and the right to vote on it. Places like Denver and the state of California, it was elected leaders that put the policy in place. This week, the city of Durango asked a state court to weigh in on whether the city legally has to call that special election on the masking issue. And if they do, it'll be in July. The Colorado Republican Party is taking losses even though it's not election day yet. A federal judge has rejected the state GOP's effort to ban unaffiliated voters from its primary in June. Judge said it's too late to reprogram the state's voting systems that send and sort ballots, and that kicking unaffiliated voters out of Republican primaries at the last minute could cause voter confusion. Republican Party insiders can vote to exclude unaffiliated voters if they wish to in future years. There's a far-right contingent within the Colorado GOP that says that they need to get the unaffiliateds out so that they can pick more ideologically pure MAGA candidates. Then there's a more like traditional Republican wing of the party, and one that's backed by every Republican member of Congress from Colorado, that says that unaffiliated voters should still be able to participate in either the Democratic or the Republican primary. When it comes to the drought situation in our state, water managers say there is no glass half full scenario. There is only glass half empty, and we'll be lucky to get there after one of the driest snow years on record. Water managers in the Colorado River Basin warned this year, everyone will make do with less. The Colorado River District sets water policy for a 15-county area that houses the headwaters of the Colorado, Yampa, White, and Gunnison Rivers. So the policies that they set impact their district and the rest of the river basin. Last week, the board set new water restrictions in the face of extreme drought on the western slope. The board says it's going to prioritize domestic and municipal water use before they fulfill agricultural and industrial water needs. Now, that does not mean that domestic users can use whatever they want. The district is directing county water providers to set up strict limitations on most outdoor watering on the western slope, no more than once a week.
We should be asking our domestic water users to recognize that their lawns can come back in the next wet year, whereas our orchards and our grapevines and frankly, those endangered and non-endangered fish are not have the same flexibility in many situations.
Colorado's drought restrictions increasingly overlap with wildfire prevention. And in areas where the memory of the Marshall Fire is still fresh, cities are literally changing the landscape to stop future fires. Our Angeline McCall has that.
More than 5 years after the Marshall Fire, there's change in the neighborhoods that burnt and conversation about preventing the next big wildfire.
Had these ordinances been in place, there might have been a chance that Deb's neighborhood wouldn't have burned mine to the ground.
Louisville city councilors took new measures at fighting fires just a few months before the height of planting season.
We know we should not have junipers, so let's get rid of them.
An emergency order from January bans planting of new juniper trees and reinforces home hardening rules around fire-resistant materials like siding or decking.
The Marshall Fire truly changed the way regulation and codes work in the state of Colorado.
Fire Marshal Jennifer Henderson with Louisville says it's another step that might stop another disaster.
There is a really strong community, particularly in the Marshall Fire area, that recognizes it could happen anywhere at any time. And so we're going to do what we can as a community to reduce our risk overall.
The ordinance, she says, does more good when people adhere to it, offering less chance of fire spread.
We know that fire isn't like floods or water. We can't predict where it's going to go, so your best tactic is to protect your community as much as possible.
Fire Chief Kevin Milan says in a time of drought, every decision matters.
Certainly what we need to do is have a widespread solution to the problem.
And with water restrictions in place across Colorado, increased dryness from drought will bring new obstacles. He hopes part of the conversations include decisions that homeowners make every day.
The city currently reviews landscaping plans for commercial properties, but not single-family properties. So part of this plan is also informing developers and builders about these restrictions. Kyle?
Right, informing them about it. There's the carrot. Any plan for a stick this year?
Yeah, no fine structure as of right now, but because this is an emergency ordinance, they could go back and retroactively do that. So that's something that we'll also wait on.
All right, Angela McCall, thank you. Colorado has a mixed track record when it comes to enforcing new regulations on big tech companies. This week, Democratic Attorney General Phil Weiser agreed to hold off on enforcing some first-in-the-nation regulations on AI. That's due to a lawsuit from a large AI company and the Trump administration. 2 years ago, Colorado passed a law prohibiting AI algorithms from discriminating when making decisions on housing, employment, healthcare, and education. But the implementation of that law has been pushed back several times due to opposition from Elon Musk and others in the AI industry and from Democratic Governor Jared Polis, who says the bill is going to scare the industry out of Colorado. Elon Musk's XAI company sued in federal court earlier this month, claiming the law violates the First Amendment by restricting how developers design AI systems by limiting free speech on controversial public issues. The Justice Department joined in, arguing that the law requires companies to, quote, infect their products with woke DEI ideology. The law was scheduled to go into effect at the end of June, but state legislators in Colorado are still talking about rolling back some of the regulations before they hit. Yesterday, a federal court ordered that the lawsuit be paused while the legislative conversation continues. And in the meantime, the state has agreed not to enforce the restrictions. Bird and Lime scooters will soon be off of Denver's streets. Here comes a new service provider with a big promise. I saw him sitting courtside at the Nuggets game last night, but I'm kind of a politics nerd. Maybe some of you also saw the mayor and wondered, who gave him those sweet seats? And is that legal?
Anytime you get an opportunity to bring a smile to a kiddo's face, it's important.
Sick Kids, Denver Health, got a very special treatment today. That's next. You'll start seeing new scooters and bikes around Denver on Friday. City Council approved the contract with a company called VIO last night. There have been months of delays in this process. One of the concerns holding up approval was whether riders currently enrolled in discount programs through Bird and Lime would lose access to those discounts. VIO says those riders will be able to keep riding immediately by confirming their status when they first scan the scooter or the bike, and riders will then have 10 days to upload documents proving that they are eligible for like the low-income discounts. They can use the docs that they previously had for Bird or Lime. Riders who do not provide that documentation will be moved to the regular pricing.
I want to make sure there's no delay being able to access a benefit that they deserve, which is their 60 minutes of free riding every day with VIO. And so they'll be able to do that instantly on the spot and not miss that trip.
Is that man in a Middle Eastern prison or is that the aesthetic of his office? Either way, not my business. VIO is going to put out several thousand bikes and scooters starting overnight on Friday. Some Bird and Lime scooters will be hanging around the city for a couple of weeks. Meteorologist Chris Bianchi is along now, and you are prepared to start a movement tonight, a movement for the betterment of our state in this drought year, Chris.
Kyle, don't want to steal anything here, but let's call it the beard of thanks, shall we?
Sure, take it.
Okay, and by the way, in honor of the best beard in Denver sports currently, of course, past tense, that'd be Charlie Blackman, but Jonas Valanciunas there, wonderful beard, no skin deserts there. But every time you shave, you use approximately, depending, of course, on the shave, about a half to a full gallon of water. So if we can get 100,000 Coloradans to not shave in a month, that would roughly save about 1 million gallons of water. Work with me here. If you do that over 3 months, that'd be 3 million gallons in 3 months. So 3 months, no shaving, then you save 3 million gallons. And so hopefully that helps out with the drought. I don't know. Beer, thanks. A way to think about it. Otherwise, radar right now getting a little bit of the natural water that we need so badly here in Colorado across the eastern plains. A few showers, you head into the mountains, a little bit of snow across the high country. That'll continue over the next couple of hours. But tomorrow, we start things off on a quiet note. Late tonight, early tomorrow, mostly quiet. Then we'll start to see some showers develop through the morning hours and especially tomorrow afternoon. A cold front is going to swing in from the north. And this is a sharp cold front, and that'll bring us some beneficial rain for parts of the mountains and the eastern plains. And then we're going to pull in some colder air late tomorrow night and into Thursday, and that could bring us some snow for the high country and also the Palmer Divide above 6,000 feet. And in Denver, it's looking promising that we will get a half inch of rain. It has been over 7 months since we saw a half inch or more of rain from a single storm. So some good news just around the corner, some of that natural water. So we don't have to hopefully not shave for 3 months, but we'll see about that. Temperatures dry, we dry out and then we'll warm up this weekend with temperatures back in the 60s and 70s. That'll last the next week. I will say next week, also looking active, and of course, all eyes on Thursday.
I say this with love. Can you grow a beard?
That is what my wife asked. No, or not well.
Okay.
Not well. Again, there will be skin deserts. It will be patchy. It will not look good.
Okay.
I mean, look, I'll say that, you know, this area, the goatee metro area, that does look promising.
Sure.
But you get, you know, in between the sideburns and here, that'll be rough. It'll be rough.
Okay. All right. Well, we could pencil it in for you just to look a little bit better. Folks who watch show know I disappear for 2 days and I come back looking like I live in an alley. But all right, Chris Bianchi, thank you. Pediatric patients at Denver Health see the real-life superheroes every day. Today, they got a visit from the fictional kind. That's next. You know who had a sweet view of the Denver Nuggets playoff win last night? The mayor, courtside, right behind the Nuggets coach's pacing place on the sidelines. Mike Johnson was seen several times during the broadcast, and most people you see courtside at a game, and you're like, hey, sweet seats, but here's the deal. He's an elected official, and we're journalists, so today we were like, so, Mr. Mayor, you pay for that expensive ticket? Or was it a gift? And did it comply with gift laws for elected officials? Well, Mayor Steem says he was there as the guest of a longtime friend, Brian Leach. Leach owns Ibotta, the cash back app that has the sponsor patch on the Nuggets jerseys. The mayor's office says that they checked with the city's board of ethics to make sure it was okay to accept the ticket, and the board's director said it was not a prohibited gift. It was cool. It would have been restricted if the person giving him the ticket had business in front of the city, or if the employee, the mayor, could take direct action on behalf of the donor. The mayor's office insists that his friend and Ibotta do not have business in front of the city. It's National Superhero Day for those who celebrate. To honor the day, kids at Denver Health got to meet a few heroes, some from the comic book world and some you might just see walking down the street.
Today's National Superhero Day, and we're super excited to bring superheroes to the kids on the inpatient pediatric floor, the emergency department, and then our outpatient clinics as well. And we have staff who are dressed up, and also our external partnerships with our Denver Police, Denver Fire, and our paramedics, who are also our superheroes, coming to deliver goodies and gifts to the kids throughout.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Is this
anytime you get an opportunity to bring a smile to a kiddo's face, it's important.
Oh,
it means the world to us just to be a part of and let the kids know that we as first responders are there for them in any situation that may arise.
Working with our paramedics and the fire and police, that they also are superheroes and the kids love to see them as well.
Hello, buddy. How you doing?
I think it's really very much a blessing to be asked to have the opportunity to share this day with these kids, partake in laughter, and just taking their mind off of the difficulties that they're going through currently.
For them, the kids to have the superheroes coming helps distract them, bring some joy, not think about what they're here for, and also just, again, to get to see people within the community as well in a positive side.
All right, buddy. Yeah, have a good day.
Feedback on Crispy's water saving idea next. Feedback on Chris Bianchi's idea to save millions of gallons of water by Coloradans no longer shaving. Craig in Lafayette says, I suggest men switch to electric razors in order to save money. Rebecca in Genesee, curious what Mrs. Crispy Donkey has to say about this scheme. Same. And Janae says, how much water do I waste shaving my legs? I don't know if I could go 3 months. These should be family decisions.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.